This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 31. Getting Tom to leave the cavern was difficult. But when Catriona agreed to help him take a handful of books back to the cottage, he reluctantly agreed. It's not that he wanted to stay. He hated the place as much as and more than Catriona. But things were happening. No matter how much it hurt, he had to continue forward. And this place, these things, the books, they were clues. He needed to study them all. The night air cleansed his lungs like iced water flushing phlegm. He could taste the sweet night, feel its cold sting in his chest. Pushing down on the metal stirrup, Tom sealed the entrance. It closed as quietly as it opened. Returning to the cottage, Catriona checked on her father while Tom piled her catch on the coffee table and spread the journal beside it. He looked at the title again and thought of the woman sitting on the beach. He could not shake the feeling that she was his mother, but he wondered then about the boy. Until now, he'd given in to the impossible notion that the Tom in his visions and the boy buried in his head were one and the same person. But now, away from the emotional maelstrom surrounding the ruin in the cave, he allowed other, less fanciful possibilities to wander his thoughts. Perhaps Catriona was right. Perhaps he was sensitive to a tragedy imprinted in the fabric of this enigmatic place. Perhaps, too, the powerful senses of love and hate were illusions brought on by his need to belong. And then there was the possibility that there was indeed a connection between him and the long-dead family. A connection as simple as genetic ancestry or as spiritual as reincarnation. Could the memories he experienced be somehow passed from generation to generation? As he pondered this question, Catriona called to him from the other room.
Tom, quick!
When he saw Callum, Tom understood the panic in her voice. The man was soaking wet, swaying his head from side to side as if he was having a slow-motion fit. The cover was pulled aside and the lamp close to his leg.
My God!
Tom said, and then regretted it immediately when he saw the concern in Catriona's face. His injured limb was not discoloured. It was dipped in black ink, dabbed by splashes of pussy green.
He's been like this since you left. I don't care what happens anymore. We've got to get help.
Tom fought back the words, about time too, and said instead, I'll go now.
No.
If that's gangrene, he could die.
And if you get lost, he doesn't get the help he needs.
Tom thought of the map of the cavern in his head. Could he find his way from Cregan to Lochranza? But Catriona was right. Light would dawn in around 3 hours. He should sleep and go then. Catriona recovered her father and wrung a cool cloth into a basin at the side of the bed. She placed it across his forehead and sat down holding his hand, ignoring Tom completely. Tom placed a hand on her shoulder. If you need me, shout. The girl nodded tearfully, her eyes fixed forward as though in a trance. Tom left and retook his position on the settee. Once he spied the journal, sleep and Callum's injury were forgotten, and he settled down for a long read. Kathleen Henderson, all those years ago, moved to Arran to look after George Silas's children. He was a strange man. She could not tell at first if his dismissive manner and reclusiveness were due to his injuries. He was in constant pain and the carer in her tried to comfort him with small kindnesses. At first he brushed these aside, commanding her not to fuss. But soon Kathleen's attempts to engage with the man brought harsh words and a flash of temper that scared her enough to quell her natural sympathies. She retreated to the care of the children and found in them a happiness she thought belonged to others and not to her. To her horror, the children were not even named. Silas referred to them as him and her until the woman christened them Thomas and Tessa. In the early years, the bizarre man left them for months at a time, bringing with him on each return a compilation of equipment that Kathleen could not understand. She began to fear that the demented creature was undertaking Satan's work. This expression, especially the word Satan, caused Tom to stop reading suddenly. He was terrified by the notion, and for some reason thought of the children he glimpsed in the dark castle, praying to someone or something hidden from his mind. He was certain that Kathleen's comment was no more than a euphemism for work that she suspected as evil. But this did not stop Tom shaking or sweat beading his forehead as the word Satan exploded in his mind, and a billion souls writhed in unknown graves and screamed for the wish to die. And to Tom, it seemed as if the very prayer they screamed flew at him, and for a mad fleeting instant the tortured souls were turned his way and yelled as one,
"Help us! Help us die! Please help us die!"
As always, thank you for listening to Tom Corvin and Paul's story. Thanks to those who have voted on podcastalley.com and for adding me to your favourites in podcastpickle.com. July is a new month, and for those that feel inclined, I'd be very, very grateful if you headed off over there or to my site and voted again for this month. Thanks for your support. Bye. DreamWorks.com.